It don't matter what I try, I just can't win and I don't know why. There's a fork in every road, I pick the wrong one and then I go. American loser, yes I am, disenfranchised from everything. Well, I fall up and I fall down, an American loser the day I was born.
Hello, welcome back to another edition of American Loser. It is Super Bowl Sunday, guys.
Hey.
All right, Super Bowl Sunday. We're recording before the big game here, but it's going to be the Chargers and the Patriots. And we're doing a re-record here due to a couple of weird audio incidents that we had.
Rams and the Patriots.
Rams. What did I say? Rams and Chargers?
Oh, no, you said Chargers, Patriots.
Well, you know what it was? L.A. doesn't deserve two teams. L.A. doesn't even deserve one team. If you're listening out in L.A., you're not a real football fan, okay? You don't get to wake up in the morning and put on football like you're watching Good Morning America, okay? You don't get that. But no, that being said, I hope we have a great game here. And if I win my prop bet I told you about, Kerry, I bet that the L.A. Rams, if their defense scores a touchdown, I bet $180 that their defense would score a touchdown and it returns over $1,000 right now.
It's not bad.
So, I mean, you know how many episodes of American Loser we can make with that kind of money? Because we got to pay the man that makes the show possible here. We are at a Shared Universe studio. They made special accommodations for us to make up for this episode here on a Sunday. So I really appreciate that, too. My friends Ming and Mike Zapsik. I said Ming and Mike Zapsik like they're a married couple. and our boy, of course, the best sound engineer on the planet, my friend, Mr. Big Kahuna, behind the ones and twos.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Thank you for coming out on this Sunday, buddy. All right.
No problem. I'm only mildly disturbed that you look like a wife-beating 50s house husband.
I am dressed in a full suit here because Super Bowl Sunday, very important holiday to us who consider football God's chosen sport.
What's it like shutting down the Ghostbusters business?
I'll put it this way. We actually did a really cool photo shoot today, me and a bunch of my friends. My supremely talented friend, Danny McDonald. She's an awesome photographer.
Did she have a farm?
No. Oddly, her husband's name is Rich. Rich McDonald. Yep. So you've actually met Rich. He was the guest for William Jennings Bryan.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a good man. So his beautiful wife is actually an incredibly talented photographer and used a bunch of us for a photo shoot today in the Mills in Patterson. Kerry, you haven't been down to the Mills of Patterson since your cocaine addiction. Is that correct?
Correct. How'd you know I went there?
Kerry never had a coke problem, guys. Kerry was too mean.
That was me.
But so of course we're joined by the Kahuna by the ones and twos, and I've already spoken to her here once, a couple of times, because she had to correct me. It's the meanest girl in the world, back by popular demand, my beautiful sister, Kerry Arax Burke. Thanks for coming in, Kerry.
Of course, no problem.
How you feeling today?
Oh, pretty good. You know, on vacation.
Who'd you pick for the Super Bowl?
Rams.
You picked the Rams?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm picking the Rams defense to score. Otherwise, I don't give a shit. I just want a good game today, all right? And that being said, we have a very, very interesting American loser here this week. We talked about him a little bit yesterday, and like we said, we kind of had to can that one. So we get a redo. It's a very rare mulligan on this show, to borrow a golf term. But
I apologize for that. Just some audio stuff. It happens.
Shut up, dummy. Now originally you're from Jersey City, right, Kahuna?
Yeah, okay. Grew up in Jersey City.
Now in Jersey City, there's a particular piece of the I call it, because in the 1950s, Dwight Eisenhower is the reason why we have like Route 80 that goes from New York City all the way to California. He's also the reason we have 95, the interstate, all that other stuff. Before the interstate, though, one of the modern marvels of the world was considered to be this little chunk of real estate known as the Pulaski Skyway, which actually joins up. It's so it crosses the Passaic and the Hackensack River, right? And it was considered a modern marvel for the time because it would reduce the commuter times for large trucks that were trying to get into New York City and stuff like that, and also just regular commuters going in and out of the city area by like up to 10, 15 minutes. So it was this insanely incredible achievement. Have you ever gone on the Pulaski Skyway, Cahoons?
I have. It's obnoxiously high. It's not good for Big Kahuna, who's not a big fan of heights, despite how tall Big Kahuna is. Not a big fan.
I do like that we're doing the third person, the Rock voice.
Yeah,
I appreciate
Big Kahuna
that.
Not fan. Big Kahuna not fan at all.
And I mean, growing up in this area, because we all grew up in New Jersey. We know the traffic report because if you're a kid listening to the radio in the morning while you're getting ready for school, there's a overturned tractor trailer on the BQE. We don't know what it means, but as little kids, you hear that every single day. And there was almost always an incident with the Pulaski Skyway. It was actually closed for 4 years for repairs being made to this. Now, what's funny is that we consider the Pulaski Skyway as something we bitch about, right? But, you know, Carrie, have you ever been stuck in traffic over in that area?
No, I haven't actually.
No, it's avoided at
traffic
all.
Traffic in that area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Traffic. It's
no. It's a thing. It's I remember being maybe 7 or 8 years old, and we were stuck in traffic on the bridge, on the Skyway. And my dad, who didn't care, was waiting for the cops to be like, it's okay, we can go through. We're in the car for 2 hours waiting for them to clear this wreck. My dad puts the seat back, puts the movie on for us to be distracted, and he goes to sleep. Meanwhile, I'm sitting in this car, like, low-key freaking out because I could look over and see down into the river, and I'm just like, nope, 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 nope.
Well, now, imagine building that because that's a really good point you made there.
Nah.
Imagine building it. Now, Carrie and I's because my dad, my beautiful father, Lawrence Patrick Burke, my DILF of a dad.
We miss you.
Who is down in South Beach. He's going to be back soon for some more episodes, guys.
Okay.
His father actually helped build the George Washington Bridge.
Get the hell out of here.
He was involved in the construction of that. And so that classic picture of all the guys up there sitting on an eye bar of steel with eating their lunches and everything,
yeah.
That's kind of what he was doing. So pretty wild stuff. But imagine building that Pulaski Skyway.
One, you have to have balls of steel. Like
absolutely.
Actual balls of steel.
Well, and now the cool thing with the Skyway is that you're building this thing that is known as literally a superhighway. This is 1932, by the way. This is pre-World War II era. So you're post-World War I, pre-World War II. And they're building this amazing fucking superhighway. And the guy who is his name was Johannesson, was the – I believe he was a Danish architect that was brought in order to help create this, you know, magnificent thing that was going to bring New Jersey into the modern world, if you will. We still haven't quite gotten there, if you ask me. But that's just, you know, the backwards idea of Jersey. But it's part of our history. It's in the opening credits of The Sopranos. It's part of, as you mentioned to me the other day, Kahuna, it's in War of the Worlds that one of the alien monsters is straddling that.
It's also in an early Alfred Hitchcock movie. I'm not thinking of the title right now. I can't, but...
Well, because it looks cool. We'll put up a photo of this for...
It is a cool look. It is, like, one of the, like, more modern and cool-looking bridges. It's just not when you look down.
Now, remember, too, it's also built before the Jersey Turnpike here. But unfortunately... they had a very slippery concrete mixture that what would happen is that these cars would get on there, a little bit of rain or whatever, if a car just took a turn at the wrong angle. This became synonymous, the Pulaski Skyway, with massive crashes. Car crashes were happening almost on a daily basis over there. So they had this weird design thing, too, because they had very steep left side ramps and then a center breakdown lane that was like a suicide lane, right? And the suicide lane, obviously, that's a lane that just changes direction of traffic depending on time of day. So it's like when you go into the city in the Holland Tunnel and you're going in and out of the same tunnel because they changed the pattern of traffic.
Nah.
Oh, it's terrifying. All I picture is that movie Daylight with Stallone every time I go in there.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so they go ahead and they do this project, this superhighway, and now all of a sudden it's not quite working out the way they wanted it to. It's this beautiful bridge. It's going to change everything. It's saving all these commuters. But because truckers are on it, they're crashing their trucks almost all the time. It's really getting to be dangerous. You're taking your life in your hand almost going on the Pulaski Skyway. And like we said, that joins it crosses over the Hackensack and the Passaic River and gets you right into the deep heart of Big Kahuna country known as Jersey City, baby. So our loser for this week is not the bridge, Carrie. It's not the bridge.
Sounds like a loser, though.
Well, the losing – here's why it all ties in. This is because you're right. Now – the guy who the gentleman's name was Johannesson, who was the designer of this bridge, and another Jersey City icon, Boss Haig, Frank Haig, who was the mayor of Jersey City, pretty much Jersey City's Tammany Hall for regular listeners, is in charge of having this fucking thing made. Now, what makes it crazy is that those guys don't get blamed for the bad Skyway. They never got the bad name because the Skyway wasn't named after them. So the Skyway is named after this guy Pulaski, and we're all bitching about traffic. Fucking Pulaski. Oh, goddamn Pulaski Skyway. Fucking.
It's definitely all his fault.
So it's all his fault. Well, what do you know about the guy? Do you know anything about him?
Only because you asked me to do this podcast, I had to look him up.
She brought in
the Skyway
research.
Was the only thing I could think of related to him.
Well, because everybody in Jersey knows the Pulaski Skyway, but I don't know if we know the story behind it. So today what I want to do is I want to just dive into that real quick if we can. So now, as I told you guys earlier, everybody kind of knows this. I'm very lucky. I work the little bit I get to work in stand-up comedy, I love. But I do have a day job. So day job is I work excavation, and across the street from this plumbing shop in Wallington, New Jersey, which, by the way, Wallington, very strong Polish population. All right?
I did not know that.
Well, you know how like Boston has a big Irish population, and then there's you know, all the Italians in like Garfield, New Jersey. Mm. Garfield being named after James Garfield, another former American loser.
I thought that was named after Garfield the cat.
That's a well, as we covered, he did die on a Monday, and that's why Garfield hates Mondays. But yeah, so I found across the street in Wallington, New Jersey, this plumbing shop that I would always go to for work. There's a bust of a statue up against the Passaic River. And it's this little kind of dirty park. There's a picnic table in there, but if anybody ever sat there, it was probably to either sell their bodies or buy drugs. So not a really beautiful place to be. But there's this bust of a statue, and the guy's name is Kazimierz Pulaski, right? Because the Polish people have this – it's a very fun accent to get lost in. But we're going to call him – we're going to Jerseyfy him. Kazimierz Pulaski for this episode, okay? Do you know – I know you know a little bit about him because of the research. Cahoon, do you know anything about this guy off the top of your head?
Besides the creepy Skyway? Nah.
Besides
the I did just discover a fun piece of information.
Hit me, bud.
The movie Hair actually filmed a sequence on the bridge, and I found a whole bunch of cool behind-the-scenes photos of the cast and crew.
Those are cool.
Actually filming – on the bridge when it shut down.
Yeah, that's it has to be the 1970s because all the women look like
1960s and 70s.
Yeah, they all look like Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin.
And all men look like women.
Yeah. It's wild because it's completely shut down. They had helicopter shots, the cranes. This is 1979.
Oh, hang on. Beverly D'Angelo, John Savage, Treat Williams. There's some really good names in this.
Yeah.
Beverly D'Angelo just never gets old either. And then Treat Williams, he's great. And John Savage was in one of my favorite movies, The Deer Hunter.
You never seen Hair?
No, never saw Hair, bud. So
I recommend it. It's a good time.
Now that I know that the Skyway's in there. Now, there's a band called Clutch that has a song called Pulaski Skyway as well, that I'm a huge fan of that band. But now we got to dive into Pulaski himself, who's fascinating. If you pull up a picture of him, we're going to put the picture up for the Instagram account. He looks like, in the face, he looks like my father. All right? He's got this cool mustache and everything, right?
From the 1970s, though.
From the 1970s, Dad.
He had hair then.
No, well played, Kerry. We're not allowed to show photos of Larry Burke with hair to my friend Jackie Byrne because she just goes, she has a huge crush on Dad. But
no, she doesn't.
Oh, she's very obvious with it. But so now Kazimierz is an interesting guy here. Poland, I didn't realize this, that Pulaski is considered a hero of the American Revolution, but he was born in Poland. Okay. And I didn't realize this around that time frame. Poland is considered it's really one of the most interesting countries in the world. When you look at Poland on a map, you got to realize, because Poland is a trope of Polish jokes all the time. You always hear the jokes about dumb Polish people, right? That's the running joke here. Mm-hmm. But they have this awesome culture. They have really good beer, by the way. And the food's pretty damn good as well. But when you look at Poland on a map and you think about the time frame we're in, you have you got the Ukraine, Lithuania, the Czech Republic, all, and then right smack dab in the middle between Germany and Russia, two of the preeminent world powers – who I don't know if you guys pay attention to a whole lot of history, they don't get along. Germany and Russia, not really the best of friends here. And now Poland is smack dab in the middle of them. Poland is revolutionary for the time because they still had a monarchy, okay? But in Poland, they would actually elect their king. So it was the king of the Commonwealth of Poland. It was actually a Polish-Lithuanian union. So the two of them have a lot in common here. And anyone who has ever Googled Lithuania, you usually Google, their gymnastics team right afterwards.
Who Googles Lithuania?
Well, they're kind of the most beautiful women on the planet. So a lot of guys have Googled Lithuania.
I'm missing out on something, apparently.
No, you're not. It's you'd like it.
Literally, the first result when you type in Lithuania is Lithuanian women.
I believe
you are not kidding.
I want to say Trump's wife is from Lithuania. But it's an interesting chunk of the world here. But Poland's fascinating because we reduce their impact on the world stage. But they're actually a really progressive country at the time. The fact that you could elect your king. Now, you couldn't elect somebody, like off the streets, a poor person or whatever. But you would have a series of noblemen that would then have to run and try to win your vote over. Now, here's a funny thing. The Pulaskis are a very popular family in their area in Poland that they're growing up in. So he's part of the nobility. Okay, gets into politics kind of at an early age and everything like that, and starts having a little bit of a experience with the military. Now, what the Poles are amazing at, okay, because you talk about British light cavalry. It was always a thing that's why the British Empire was really great, because they had light cavalry. And then you would talk about the horseback escapades, if you will, of the Huns and the Mongols, that they could almost turn around with a bow and that they're hitting you from a distance. You can't even get close to them.
Right.
And then you have like the Greeks would have that really weird close thing they do where they become a turtle by putting all their shields up in the air. So it would be one giant turtle so that you couldn't hurt them.
Right.
So they all have these cool things they're known for. Poland doesn't get the credit that they deserve. They have these amazing cavalry things called winged hussars, H-U-S-S-A-R-S. They look otherworldly, right?
They're incredible looking. I'm not going to even front. Like, they're really cool.
Well, it looks like when you look at them, these winged hussars, they look like part Native American, okay? And then they also look like part samurai. And then they look like part shining armor. You know what I mean? Like a knight in shining armor kind of thing. So it's almost a combination of all these. And there's a little Roman thing to them too, with the way the helmets are. They're really...
they are pretty badass looking.
Well, just imagine...
It's just like a bunch of cultures just had a baby and it was that armor. Like...
Well, imagine, because Carrie and I are – Carrie's British. I'm Irish because we're both adopted. But imagine Carrie and I are in the British Army and we're in infantry, if you will, and we're going into this fight and we're fighting Polish people and the winged hussars, these giant bird-like, godlike creatures who are excellent horsemen, come flying down at us. That's a really cool picture you have there too. I'm going to ask you to send that to me for the Instagram.
No problem.
But what the picture he has here, it's of them fighting the Ottomans. So Poland's cool because they're able to fight the Ottoman Empire, one of the big empires at the time. They're also able to fight off the Russian influence, but then they also maintain their independence from Germany. Now, Germany's not real yet because Germany only became a country in the late 1800s. A lot of people don't know that. But under this time, they were known as the Holy Roman Empire. Okay, so that split that happens from the when the fall of the Western Roman Empire, Rome still continues, but it's known as the Byzantines. Okay, and I know that if you're American history fans, we're not talking about this, but you have to unpack the weird culture that our boy Pulaski's coming from here. So you got the Byzantines who are Eastern Orthodox, right? So that's you're going to be your Russians and all that other stuff. Then you have the Catholic Church, which is the Holy Roman Empire.
And Poland's Catholic.
And Poland is Catholic, but it shares a border pretty much with Russia. So Russia's always trying to come in. Then you got the Ottoman Turks always trying to come in. And there's that idea of Zoroastrianism, which is another form of religion, and then also the Muslim influence and everything. I mean, Poland has to have their shit together in order to stay on. These photos are ridiculous, Kahuna.
Jar Jar. But,
someone has a photo of Jar Jar Binks as a winged hussar, and it's ruined my life. But
I'm sorry, if I saw them coming down the battlefield at me, I'd shit my pants and run.
Nah, I think that's what's brilliant about their armor, because it is such an it's such a hodgepodge of cultures that you don't know who's coming for you.
Well, they have about, I would say, 2 to 3 feet behind them of feathers that almost looks like a Native American headdress, like Sitting Bull or something would wear.
Or they should be playing, I Believe I Can Fly.
That's Carrie wanted to get an R. Kelly joke in.
Before it was really inappropriate.
Free R. Kelly. That's what my sister has to say. These winged hussars actually, on a huge, huge battle known as the Battle of Vienna on September 12th, 1683, there was this alliance between the Holy Roman Empire, we'll just call them Germany for ease of conversation, the Habsburg Monarchy, which is the Austrians, and the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. They all joined forces to kick the shit out of the invading Turkish Ottoman Empire. So that's the picture Kahuna brought up that we're going to wind up putting up there. So these guys would come in, by the way. They'd have giant lances. So that these winged hussars, that's a very cavalry-heavy tradition that they have. Now, they'd come in with these giant lances, like an old-school knight in shining armor. Then once the lance was used, if you will, they broke the lance, usually in a person. Now they're going to come back. They have a giant stabbing sword, which is important. It's not a broadsword. All right, a stabbing sword is to go ahead and make your cuts forward. A swiping sword would be like to try to cut a guy in half kind of a thing. Then as the times went on, they would also routinely carry multiple pistols, from 2 to 6 pistols they would carry. And then they'd also carry a small carbine rifle. So these guys can kill you almost every which way there is. Oh, and then if you just don't get out of their way, they'll trample you with their horse too. So, and also going back to the Polish, the feat of strength kind of a thing that those people are known for, they also carried war hammers like Thor. So imagine getting one of these guys off his horse and then he takes out a giant war hammer and you're like, I fucked up.
So, yeah, I would not want to be against
these things are actual destroyers. They are wild looking, man. It is probably one of the coolest like pieces of armor I think I've ever seen.
Oh, they're fast. I did not know anything about them before I started researching for this one here. And the thing is that when we start talking about him, he's coming from this culture, our boy Casimir Pulaski. He's part of that warrior culture. He identifies with the strong cavalry tradition of Poland, and he becomes an expert on horseback, right? He's absolutely kicking ass here. He's becoming one of the most famous people in his country. And Poland's geography, like we said, makes it interesting because you got czars to the right of you, Germans to the right. Here we are stuck in the middle with you. So
you really wanted that joke, didn't you?
It's because if you look at Poland, they're fucked, man. Imagine not having your shit together, right? And then you have literally the two biggest empires in Europe coming after you at all times. You have to have a sense of identity.
They've been invaded all the time, right?
Yeah, what's so special about it, though?
Well, it's in the middle of everything.
Also, Poland has a geographical advantage by having a giant chunk of the Baltic Sea open for trade on the water. So that's why it's a very desirable piece of land, real estate, if you will. Now, not for nothing, you want to talk about how history always repeats itself. Russia and Poland, to this day, do not get along, all right? Because if you look on the map over here, like we're talking about, Germany's right to the left of them. And in the upper right-hand corner, Russia controls this chunk between them and Lithuania. So all these things still hotly debated all the time. But like we said, Poland, fascinating people here. They have this Commonwealth king that can be elected here. But Pulaski is born to a wealthy noble family, so he'd be one of the people that could be elected. Right, Pulaski is born to that wealthy family in 1745. His birth date's disputed, by the way. I've noticed that with so many great people that we've covered in history. We don't actually know when their birthday is.
No one wants to reveal their age, man.
Yeah, it's that weird thing where like a woman will tell you, oh, I don't want to say how old I am. I was like, just say how old you are. You look great for your age no matter what. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, your age is the first thing they print on your obituary. So we find out in the end, you know? Pulaski's born in 1745 to that Roman Catholic family like we were talking about here. But in 1762 now, Pulaski decides it's time to go ahead and get involved in the military. Now, Kerry, you had something interesting about the Pulaski coat of arms.
Yeah, he could be related to half of Poland. The coat of arms that I can't pronounce the name of the family for has 993 surnames under it.
Well, did he have any misses or family or children afterwards, or was he a bachelor most of his life?
They don't really talk too much about his personal life here because he's got a tragic Greek hero thing, almost like we were talking about with Shoeless Joe Jackson last week. But just having a very common name. Pulaski is a super common name. And the Poles are funny people because they always have names like mostly vowels and then it ends in ski or whatever.
So, like the Armenians with the I-A-N.
I-A-N-Y-A-N, right? So they're very interesting people here, but he quickly gets into the military because they're constantly having these land disputes like we talked about with the Russian Empire, who's always encroaching. Russia thinks of itself as the new Rome, and Germany considers itself the continuation of Rome or the new Rome in the West. So, and then Poland's like, guys, can we please just be Poland? All right, we're trying here. We're really fucking trying. But Poland is a Catholic country, and they're loyal to the Pope, but they're still stuck in this weird, tough situation. In 1764, the Poles have that Commonwealth election like we were talking about. Now, this is where our boy gets important, okay? In 1764, the Poles elected a new monarch. You want to talk about, like, this is a badass name. He wasn't a badass king, but this is a bad. If you met a guy and he goes, "My name is Stanislaw," you'd be like, "All right, I'm not fucking with Ivan Drago over here."
All right, Vigo the Carpathian. Yeah. You just get out of here.
There's a lot of good names for him, man. But so they elect Stanislaw August II. Okay. Now he becomes elected the king of the Commonwealth of Poland and Lithuania. Now here's why that's interesting. People rejected him being elected because they thought that he was a Russian puppet. Okay. This is 1764.
Why did they vote for him then?
1764, there was this undue influence. So that's always the problem that comes down with democracy. Democracy is absolutely the greatest thing that's ever happened to mankind. Thank you, Greeks, for inventing democracy. But there's ways to corrupt democracy, right? So in 1764, it is one of the first times in history that we start hearing about a story that's plaguing us right now in 2019 of the Russians rigged the election.
Is this Trump's past life?
This is it's a weird thing, right? Because history repeats itself on that. Now, we're a history show, not a politics show, so I won't go too heavy into that.
Also, listeners, just do yourself the favor and joy of looking up Russian puppet on Google Images because some interesting things come up.
Well, that's what they said in Poland, is that Stanislaw II is just a puppet of Russia. And one of his early on commands is he actually allows Russian troops to enter Poland. That does not sit well with people.
Sounds like a smart idea.
Yeah, really great idea. I'm not a puppet. I promise I'm not a puppet. I'll just – here, talk to my Russian friends. They'll tell you how great I am.
As he waves his Muppet arms away and screams off stage.
Cuts the string real quick.
So
falls limp. Nothing to see here, folks. Gets the cane that sweeps him off stage.
So our boy Casimir Pulaski, him and his father, not having this. They're not very happy with him. So they join what is known as the Bar Confederation, okay? You got anything on the Bar Confederation, Kerr?
Is that where you go to a bar?
Kerry.
I'm just saying.
Work harder, all right? Seriously, you're my sister. People are depending on you here.
It's when you declare that Johnny Max is your bar and your bar alone, and you hold all the pizza hostage for yourself, and if people want it, they got to pay extra for it or not invade at all.
Well, what's cool here too is that now this rebellion here, it's a popular rebellion, the Bar Confederation, and Casimir Pulaski is so beloved, he actually starts attracting members of the standing Polish army to join him. So now Casimir Pulaski, like we said, this badass cavalry dude. So he's going to go ahead. He's riding on horseback. There's almost a knights in shining armor vibe to it. But you're coming into, you're in the 1700s now. So the advent of firearms and gunpowder and all that other shit. It's really a changing world here. But what I love about the Bar Confederation, what they saw was this was really the core of their belief, was they just wanted to expel the Russian troops from Poland. They weren't even necessarily wanting the king deposed. They just didn't want Russian troops in their homeland. Pretty reasonable, all right? Casimir was placed in charge of the cavalry due to his exemplary equestrianship.
Plus the Russian army, the Russian armor probably didn't look as cool, so they were like, we don't want them.
Russian armor looks cool. The winged hussar is amazing because it almost looks like their masks make them look like Shredder from the Ninja Turtles. Wearing a Native American headdress with Japanese body armor and then a lance from like a knight of the round table in Britain. So it's almost like if you culturally appropriated the entire world at that time into one amazing costume, you'd have these winged hussars. Who
it
so
truly,
cool.
Yeah, that's the most accurate description I think we've come up with.
Well, you see what happens when we have a chance to riff a little?
I can't unsee the Shredder thing now.
Turtles.
Rest in peace, James Avery.
But Casimir is, like I said, placed in charge of that cavalry, and he starts getting international attention here. He's winning several victories. So the Bar Confederation early on is having massive success against the Russian influence and the standing Polish army that is just loyal to Stanislaw. Whether or not he's actually a puppet remains up to dispute. But his own actions actually start even to attract defectors from Poland's standing army over to the Confederates, like we were talking about. So that's pretty fucking cool. So this guy is a man of the people here. Now, Pulaski is actually captured eventually after a couple of victories. He has one small defeat, but he gets captured at this city of Birchkow or something like that, Birdeskow. I really would like to have known how to pronounce that, but it's one of those crazy Polish things where It's exclusively vowels. You have no idea how to, like, even my Polish friends at the job site wouldn't know how to pronounce this. But due to his popularity when he was captured, they sat there. There's always this thing that if you have a if you have somebody who's rebelling against you, you need to put the rebellion down, but you don't want to make them a martyr so that that person can have his followers rally around his death to then continue to attempt to overthrow you. So what King Stanislaw did is when they arrested him, he said, hey, listen.
The Sith have some things to learn.
There's this Bar Confederation thing. You're very popular, Casimir Pulaski. Do me a favor and go ahead and let us – we're going to release you. But don't fight us anymore and tell your friends to give the fight up too, man. We're just let's end this thing. And he goes, absolutely. No, I totally understand, guys. That's great. Thank you so much. I'm going to walk over here with the other guys here on my way back to the Confederation camp. As soon as I get there, I'm going to tell them this fight's over. It's not there. Oh, am I out of your custody now? Hey, guys, listen, I'm back. I had to promise them I wasn't going to fight anymore, but I don't think that really counts. So let's go fuck up these Russian-owned Polish people. I'm right back in the fight here. And guess what? Even the people who supported him did not like that. They thought it was a little bit of a scumbag move. And his own father, who was in charge of him, debated whether or not he should be court-martialed for even allowing himself to enter into this agreement with the Stanislaw whole, the oligarchy, we'll call it, because he wasn't in firm control. He was part of a puppet regime. But not for nothing. It's like a pinky promise, right, Kerr? Like when you and I would fight.
Where you're holding your fingers behind your back, crossed. Yeah.
Like when Carrie would tell me, she's like, I promise I'm not going to punch you in the face anymore. And I'd be like, you sure, Carrie? And then she'd be like, she's like, do you want a donut?
So wait, people were mad at Casimir? People were mad at Casimir for going back on the deal that the people were like, we don't want to fight anymore?
And some of his own men, including his own father, were like, well, that's kind of a scumbag move. Now we don't look good because now you're going back on your word. And they released you thinking that the war was going to end. But as soon as Casimir returned to the Confederates, he reneged on his promise and went right back into the rebellion. He's lost a little bit of popularity here, but during a siege of the rebellion's own headquarters, right? So it's always a very special episode of G.I. Joe when Cobra attacks the G.I. Joe base directly, right? That was always my favorite episodes. Our boy Casimir Pulaski.
Because it added some real tension.
They're coming for. Oh, it's like when the foot soldiers would enter the Ninja Turtles swamp. Not the swamp, the sewers.
The swamp? Yeah. What is this, Shrek?
Swamp Thing was also around that time. You got to remember.
That's true.
But anyway, so they. Casimir Pulaski actually defends brilliantly under the siege with not a whole lot of men either. Fights back the Russians and the Polish on that one. And again, wins back all that popularity. It's like. Every head coach has to get fired until they win a playoff game. And they're like, oh, my God, we have the future.
And then he turned into Master Splinter. And then Shredder became the major bad guy and a legacy was born.
Yeah, we have so much to build on here. You know what I mean? But like people wanted Pat Shermer fired for the Giants, just to make a football reference here. They wanted him fired when we were losing. And then we started piecing it together towards the end of the season. They're like, well, he's the best we got. All right. So let's see what else he can do here. So Pulaski's now back in popularity, back in control of a lot of things. He's very effective in the field, all right? But one weird thing that happened is that he actually attracts these troops from Lithuania that come out because they want to fight for Pulaski. He's becoming a national icon. So the Lithuanians have now entered this fight because the Lithuanians have a lot to lose because if Poland falls to Russian control, now Lithuania is next. All right, they're right there. They share that border. Again, after you're done Googling the women, Google Lithuania. Learn a little bit about them. Fascinating people. But now the guy who was actually the foil, if you will, to Pulaski's brilliance in the field was this guy, Alexander Suvorov, who is one of the most brilliant Russian generals, just one of the most brilliant generals of all time. And every time Pulaski pulls off a victory, this guy counters him. So if he lays siege to a city, then Suvorov will relieve the city, right? And if he wins a battle, then Suvorov will win that territory back a couple weeks later. Suvorov is a fucking genius. And Pulaski actually gets shot off his own horse during a battle against him. So something that happens to him a couple of times here. The horse dies, he doesn't. But Pulaski's a stubborn Polak, so he gets right back up and fights again. So now, like we were saying, are we missing anything on the Bar Confederation here so far, Kara?
No.
It's an interesting fight here, and it's not a part of American history, like we said, but we're just trying to give you an idea of what this guy's early life is like before he comes into the picture.
Yeah, he seems to win a battle, then lose a battle, and then win a battle, lose a battle.
Mm-hmm. It's called being 500, right? It's a But what winds up happening next here is that although Pulaski is still effective in the field, he routinely disobeys orders from other members of the Confederation, if you will, and earns himself a reputation as a loose cannon.
It's more fun to be that way.
I think so, too. It is fun to watch a loose cannon go off here. Right. But this leads to a massive Confederation defeat one time because Suvorov, he goes ahead and attacks the Bar Confederation. Pulaski achieves a victory by attacking a different group of the troops. But he doesn't reinforce his original guys, so Suvorov defeats them. It's a massive setback for the Bar Confederation. So pretty much he won. He decided it was more important to win the coin toss than to win the game. All right. But he does that thing. And now after a failed attempt to kidnap the king, this becomes a plot that they get involved in. Their idea is that they're going to kidnap the king. And Casimir Pulaski goes, I don't know, guys. It doesn't sound like an honorable thing to do. And they say, well, we promise we're not going to hurt him. So
not going to kill him, just kidnap him.
That makes kidnapping okay, as long as you don't kill him, right? You're like, hey, I brought you back, though, right? Right? Right, honey? Right?
You borrowed the person. We'll give you back.
You're only borrowed and displaced for a couple of minutes. You're fine. Right. You're not dead. No, that's all that matters.
No, so they said they were going to go ahead.
Just a little deflated.
Look at Kahuna with a football reference. Good for you, bud. I'm proud of you here, man. But like we said, this loose cannon reputation is combined with this now the failed plot to kidnap the king. When you try to kidnap the king, there's bad shit that happens with it. Even if you succeed, there's bad shit that happens. Their plot does not succeed.
You're kidnapping a king.
Yeah.
The sentence alone is just a horrible.
Like no one would go looking for him at all.
Do either of you know the term for what it means to kill a king?
There's regicide. Actually
regicide, right?
Thank you to the Lion King for teaching me that one.
Mine was Age of Empires too. But regicide is actually one of the things that he's accused of and convicted because he's tried in absentia, if you will. So he doesn't even show up to his own trial, which don't show up for your own trial.
And he was sentenced to death, right?
He would have been sent. He was pretty much banished. That if he ever came back to Poland, that he was going to be murdered, and his title was given away, his family's lands were given away, all this other stuff. So now you got this ass-kicking hero of the Bar Confederation, this badass Polish dude. He's got no army to fight for anymore. So they banish him over to Prussia. He's in Prussia now, and he's trying to figure out what he's going to do here. What's my next move? He winds up over in France, tries to join the French military. And a funny thing about the French, they wanted nothing to do with him.
Maybe it's because he didn't come in looking like a winged hussar.
A winged
hussar. Think about that. If he walked in like that, they'd be like, oh, hell yeah, we want him.
If he had entered like the France town, like a Paris town square, and everyone was just like, what? We need him, just right? From the look alone.
He might
sway
have,
public opinion towards himself.
He might have gotten off easy here, too, because France wanted nothing to do with him. They wouldn't allow him to join the military. And he was routinely being thrown into jail because in France you could be jailed for not paying your debts on time. So, you know, we've all had a bill collector call us every now and then. Imagine if that came with jail time, we'd all be paying our shit on time. I'm just saying.
Either that or I'd be in jail.
Yeah, we'd be doing this podcast from jail. We'd be scraping it into the walls with a piece of soapstone.
Put the phone up to the microphone.
Hide the recorders up the... No, never mind. I'm not going to go there anymore
yeah,
than
it's
I have
a shared universe indeed.
oh, no!
But yeah, so he's getting thrown in and out of jail for not paying his debts here. Casimir Pulaski, badass hero of the Bar Confederation, can't find a fucking job in France. And then a guy decides he wants to meet him. Guy's name is on recommendation, by the way, to set up this meeting.
Nick Fury.
He pretty much is the Nick Fury of this, if you want to go the Avengers route. Marquis de Lafayette, the badass French hero of the American Revolution. He comes over and he decides, he goes, hey, man, Pulaski, I want you to meet my friend Ben Franklin. So Benjamin Franklin is in France at this time, who has syphilis too, by the way. It's one of the most hilarious things in history is that Ben Franklin has syphilis, I believe.
Well, it's all those women he was with.
Yeah, he threw it around a little bit. But what are you going to do? He's Philly trash, Carrie. You know what they do over there. But Ben Franklin goes ahead and almost shows up like Nick Fury and says, I'm recruiting a team. I'm putting together a group of people. And I want you to be a part of it. You're the badass cavalry hero of Poland. Well, why don't you head on over to America and help us kick the shit out of the British?
So would he be Thor?
I was going to say Thor, but it sounds like it's almost like Tony Stark, because he does good but makes horrible decisions at the same time.
I wish I had seen enough of those movies to know what accurate. We're talking about. It's a weird thing, too, because the Polish thing, they do have their love of Thor as well to a degree. But he decides he's going to show up here. He becomes he's now the former top military leader of Poland, and now he comes over to the United States of America. All right? And we're hot at war right now. This is 1777.
Welcome to America, motherfucker.
And this guy's an ass kicker without an ass to kick, and America just happened to give him a solid enemy. All right? So he's now fighting the British Empire here. He was recruited by the French hero Lafayette, like we said. And he moves on. Pulaski actually writes this gushing letter to Washington. Washington gets a letter from Lafayette.
I actually know what this letter is. Do you mind if I say it?
Talk to me.
It's written, and this is an actual quote. I'm here to kick ass and drink beer, and I'm almost out of beer.
No, that's if he was Irish.
A little modification from They Live, right? Here's what's weird. Kahuna, you're not too far off, by the way. So if you're General George Washington, you're leading this rebellion. And you have regular trained soldiers, and then you have militiamen who are literally the Minutemen that if you give them – you have to give them a heads up, but they stop being farmers and blacksmiths and then go grab their rifles and their soldiers again. They're not going to be the most effective soldiers, okay? But they can mount a defense. So you're trying to build a standing army right now to go against one of the world's leading superpowers.
It's that scene in Mulan when they're trying to train all the horrible, horrible
I'll make
people.
A man out of you.
Yeah, basically.
It is it is hilarious to me that my sister and the Kahuna are able to join in for – it's a lot of Disney references and cartoon references. For them. And I'm like, it's like how Bill Parcells one time said. You guys make me feel old. But he gets over here. Now, Washington gets this gushing letter from Lafayette and a gushing letter from Benjamin Franklin. And then he gets a letter that has this kick-ass quote, like you were saying, Kahuna, from Pulaski himself. General Washington, I come here where freedom is being defended to serve and to live or die for it.
Oh, so I wasn't that far off.
No. He goes, I'm about this fight. This is a fight for good versus evil. This is about sovereignty, overthrowing an empire. And by the way, I'm really good at fighting.
Now, I think he was just bored.
Now, who did he send this letter to?
He sent it directly to General George Washington.
Now, I feel like if George had rejected him, I feel like at this point George Washington would have been a jerk and he would have been an American loser because, like, that's such a great letter.
Keep in mind, Washington was not – we didn't get off to the hottest start with the revolution. We had a lot of bad stuff. Like, Bunker Hill's considered a victory, but really it was just a standstill. And then Lexington and Concord are not these massive engagements or whatever here. And we get the shit kicked out of us in New York. So if you can import – a guy from overseas who knows how to whip a military into shape and who's routinely beating it. This guy beat Russia. He was able to fight off the Germans. He was able to fight off the Ottoman Turks. I mean, this guy has done everything. They literally labeled him as a three-time champion of Poland.
He's a professional ass kicker.
Yeah, and you're in dire need of those here, right? So they go ahead, they get him on board, and it's pretty cool because Pulaski shows up in Philly, and he winds up showing off on horseback all of the cool equestrian shit that he can do. Because keep in mind, these are mostly farmers here. You know, they're able to ride horses, but now Pulaski's like doing backflips on them and,
the evil Knievel
wheelies.
Of the time.
Yeah, he's the evil Knievel of the time. That's a great one.
You know, if they were to actually ever make a movie on this fool, I would love to see it done by Mel Brooks as a comedy.
It would be a good one, too.
Because especially if done like in a history of the world type way, I think that would be incredible. I could see it perfectly now. Gene Wilder, if he was still here.
Just wait. We haven't even gotten into the goofiest part of this, is that you have to remember the fact that this war in America is being fought between the colonists, who up until the war considered themselves subjects of England, and England, who consider themselves subjects of England. So they're all speaking pretty much the same language. They all have a very common culture. Now you're going to bring over Marquis de Lafayette, who's going to yell at you in French and tell you how to secure your saber, you know? And you're going to have all that going on. And then you have Casimir Pulaski coming over and goes, oh, I can't do a Polish accent.
You can barely do the French one, but it's all good.
Actually, my French accent is so good. It just it's just an appalling
accent.
Scares
people away.
Yeah. We have no listeners in France. We have a lot of listeners in Russia and Denmark. What up, Russia? How you doing?
Don't hate us after this episode. We're just talking history.
Nah, they're good guys over there. So in 1777, now our boy Pulaski is over here for a little muscle job, right? He's going to go kick the shit out of the British on behalf of the colonists. And
kick
Washington
ass,
loves
him. Bubblegum.
Yeah, Washington loves him, man. He's very impressed by his use of the horse, and he's always talking about how, well, we need a cavalry. We need a cavalry. And now you got a guy who is literally – Pulaski is known as the father of the American cavalry. So when you see that 7th Cavalry logo, that super famous military logo.
Now, did he bring in the – like the –
I'm going to assume that probably came in a little bit later on. And then everybody always had different charge sounds for them. But Custer's part of the cavalry here. The 7th Cavalry is in Vietnam that the helicopters would land at. That's considered air cavalry.
Oh, okay.
So all of this, all that tradition goes back to Casimir Pulaski.
Oh, wow.
So, pretty
crazy. So he started most of this stuff.
Yeah, he's considered the father of the American cavalry.
Absolutely. And he wrote a lot of the formation details and all the kind of the code of conduct, if you will. So the bylaws.
That's still held up.
Well, the birth of it, absolutely. You know, because the Navy has a proud history at that stuff too. It all goes all the way back to the Revolution, man. The military is very big on tradition. But now he's already impressed Washington. And during the Battle of Brandywine, as it's known, Pulaski orders a cavalry charge to cut off this British advance. The British advance that was coming on was very important too because for some reason the line was exposed and General George Washington and his like 30 bodyguards that are assigned to him are exposed. So they might actually get captured and or killed. The British might actually get at the Battle of Brandywine. They might be able to capture the general of the Army of the Potomac, right? And we might be completely screwed and we're still under British rule to this day, right? But Casimir Pulaski gets this crazy cavalry thing going. Charges him off, cuts him off, and effectively saves George Washington's life. So Washington already likes this guy. Now he fucking loves him, makes him a brigadier general, and essentially puts him in charge of the entire cavalry of the Continental Army. So pretty cool guy there in and of itself. But when you can save the guy, your boss's life, that's always a good thing too. Like imagine you saved Ming's life, Kahuna. All right? I guarantee you'd make $25 an episode instead of $20. But like we said, like my sister was talking about too, he becomes the father of the American cavalry here. Now, he moves on and it gets a little bit goofy here because there's this –
Goofier?
Because he comes to New Jersey, that's goofy?
Well, it is always strange when you come into New Jersey. Now, mind you, he's a popular commander because he's a colorful personality and he wins a lot. But like we were saying, there's that cultural divide now where these guys are all taking orders in broken English from a guy from Poland. So a farmer from Virginia or, a blacksmith from Rhode Island are sitting there getting yelled at in Polish by this guy whenever they're fucking up. So now you don't even know what you're doing wrong and you don't even understand that you're being told you're wrong. So he actually winds up coming. Here's your Jersey tie-in. All right. The Skyway is in New Jersey that's named after him, but he actually shows up in New Jersey in real life. He gets stationed down in Trenton, New Jersey, and that's where he begins the formation of the cavalry force. But now during a skirmish where he teams up with General Mad Anthony Wayne, Carrie and I are from Wayne, New Jersey, by the way, named after General Mad Anthony Wayne. Pulaski's own horse was again shot out from underneath him in present-day Gloucester City. All right? Pretty insane right here. So down the Jersey Shore, you go down the Jersey Shore to vacation, Casimir Pulaski is getting shot at. So
I'm surprised they haven't given him the nickname like Good Luck Casimir or something like that.
Well, because like, it runs out towards the end.
Oh, it absolutely runs out. Most people with great luck have it violently run out. But like this
he seems
guy
to have
it,
bad luck on the horse, though.
Bad luck for the horse.
Like,
but like
I wouldn't want to be his horse at that point.
No horse would.
Sorry.
Well, let me ask you this one. Carrie, how many car accidents have you been in?
A couple fender benders. Nothing.
Okay,
nothing
so
big.
All that is more than me. All right. But I'm not going to –
I'm a woman.
Oh,
I can't
Carrie.
Apparently. There you go. I went there.
But no, if you got into a car accident, you wouldn't say, all right, that's it. Learn my lesson. No more cars for me.
Right? I mean, no, yeah. I was talking from the horse's point of view. I wouldn't want to be the horse.
The horse's point of
view. Like Mr. Ed or something. Like
very funny.
His point of view on this.
Very funny on that one here. Now, the other thing that continues to hurt his popularity is that he's not able to pay the guys on time. there's rumors that Pulaski was actually paying his own American troops out of his own pocket. But sometimes there was also that there was the idea that he would suggest donations from the towns that he wasn't burning to the ground. Hey, guys, you like the Continental Army, right? Why don't you let us know with a couple of dollars here and there?
We might not burn you down to the ground.
Did they have tip jars strapped to the horses?
Yeah, just a tip jar. Tips for excellent service and not burning your barn. Now he gets down there and he's starting to become disillusioned with this. Pulaski's troops are struggling to understand him. The pay's not there. These money issues plague him his entire life, and he resigns from his position. Okay.
Well, he was also mad because he couldn't make a Lancer unit that he wanted.
Well, now having – it's really cool too. I'm glad you brought that up because the Lancer unit for Pulaski, he essentially wanted knights in shining armor to be running – when you talk about a Lancer, that's having a giant spear that you're going to stab into somebody. Could you imagine how ridiculous it would be if the Apache war tribes of the Plains Indians are rushing at us with, you know, these giant spears with the arrowheads attached to them and we're countering them with winged hussars in giant land. I mean, that's the most colorful blood fest you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But what's really cool here is now he resigns from that command. He's not enjoying himself up in the north, right? And stop me whenever you have anything else, Kerry. I know you did good research too. Pulaski's troops, he moves on from them, resigns from his command in the north. General Horatio Gates, who we've talked about on the podcast a couple of times, real douchebag. If you don't know about him, check out our past episodes on the unfounding fathers, if you will, as I like to call them. But he actually moves him into the south, if you will. He decides to send him down to Little Egg Harbor. You ever been to Little Egg Harbor, Kerr?
I have.
Right outside of Atlantic City, right?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful area, but you always feel like something's up there, right?
That and I just kind of wish like that moment in time could be erased. There was nothing beneficial to it.
To Little Egg Harbor?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not for me, at least.
Oh, damn. All right. So you got some personal beef with Little Egg Harbor then.
No,
right.
It just wasn't exciting.
Let's keep it on the up and up here, right? We might have listeners in Little Egg Harbor. But Gates reassigns him. He heads down to Little Egg Harbor. Now, the idea is that Pulaski is going to recruit some of the pirates and smugglers down there, okay? And they're going to come on board, and what he wants to use them for, the Continentals are going to pay these pirates, these mercenaries, to disrupt British trade. Because if the British can't resupply, they're going to have a harder time getting through the winters, moving troops and stuff like that. So it's like the enemy of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So that's what they're sending Casimir Pulaski down there to go ahead and hook up with. But now there's almost no security in Little Egg Harbor while they're down there.
Well, so when he left to go to Little Egg Harbor, he actually stepped down from his position.
Right. He resigned of command up north.
Right. And then Gates actually reappointed him to that rank of Brigadier General and called him the Commander of the Horse and gave him the Lancer unit that he wanted with 68 Lancers.
Old Horse Dick Pulaski, as they called him. But yeah, he wouldn't have the Lancer unit, but now he's down in Little Egg Harbor.
Well, now he has the Lancer unit, 68 Lancers.
No shit.
Thanks
okay.
to Gates.
So Gates, who routinely misappropriated funds, gave him something useless.
Yeah.
Very cool then. But he's down there with his men, and they're trying to recruit these pirates, and they have they're just set up in tents, right? There's tents. There's no security. They're not really prepared for it. The British row in under cover of darkness, right? Come in and murder 50 men by bayonet in the middle of the night. All right, it's known as the Little Egg Harbor incident, or the massacre, if you will.
Oh, at Little Egg Harbor.
Isn't that such a soft name? Now, by the way, I gave this to Kahuna the other day. We're going to get off topic for 2 seconds here, but Kahuna's jaw dropped and hit the ground. My father is so good at finding these weird things. I happen to know something fucked up on this one, Cahoons. I know we told you yesterday, but I'm going to remind you here again. Rahway, New Jersey, all right? When I was working down there for my plumbing job, there's a historical marker, and our father taught us to always read the historical markers, right, Kerr?
Read them? Is that what they're there for?
Labor over them. But
for 5 minutes?
I'm reading the one of them, and it's about a thing called the Battle of Rahway, right, is what it's known as. And it was a part of a small skirmish of the British and Continental troops known as the Forage War. Now, here's what's insane about the Forage War. It took place in Rahway, and it was not originally known as the Battle of Rahway because Rahway was what they changed the name of the town to. So here's your weird fucking left turn that we give you every episode. listeners at home, if you want to guess the original name of Rahway, I guarantee you're wrong.
You'll never get it.
It was known at the time as the Battle of Spanktown. All right. I have tried for 3 years to come up with a joke on stage I could tell that's funnier than the fact that that town used to be named Spanktown and people died defending Spanktown.
I'd be embarrassed to live there.
People went to Spanktown, Kerry, and they never came back.
What happened in Spanktown stayed in Spanktown.
But that was known as the Forge War. They changed it to Rahway. Spanktown was literally supposedly received its name because during the early settling of it.
It was a big prostitution town.
Might as well have been, right? Spanktown's a great name for a strip club, by the way. I don't know why nobody's on that one here.
Because it's so – well, to be fair, it's so on the nose. Like if you're driving down the park with your kids and your kid's like, Dad, what's Spanktown?
Oh, yeah, because Passions is so under the radar. There was a strip club in Cocoa Beach called Cheaters. It doesn't get more on the nose than that. But
Oh, man. So
now these men get murdered here, and our boy Pulaski, he's not really thrilled with his command. He actually gets reassigned now, and he actually starts fighting against the Iroquois Confederacy. Now, fun thing about the Iroquois Confederacy is that it's Native Americans fighting on behalf of the British. So we send a Polish guy fighting on behalf of the colonialists who are against the British, who are agitating the Native Americans, but the Native Americans are on the side of the British because they want the colonialists out. If that confused you, it's because it's fucking confusing.
Yeah, I couldn't even follow that one.
No, it's pretty much everybody's a pawn in everybody else's end game. So the Iroquois Confederacy is like, all right, we're going to help the British get rid of the colonists, and then we're going to get rid of the British. But we're going to use the British to empower us to get rid of the colonists. And then the colonists are like, we're going to send this immigrant from Poland over to beat up the people who were here originally because they're supporting the people who were here before us that we're trying to get rid of.
Okay.
If it's hard to unpack that, it's because it still doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, you have to listen to that 4 times to get it.
No, and again, it's just a goofy thing here, but they go ahead and Pulaski's not thrilled with the command yet again over here. So he's kind of not having a great time in the United States, especially not after saving the president, the future president of the United States, I should say.
It just sounds like he gets bored often and wants change.
I do have a question, though.
Hit me.
How is he considered I know that you said earlier that a lot of people – he was starting to lose favor with a lot of people. And then you said that he was paying his troops out of his own pocket. Normally, like, that puts you kind of in a – I don't know. That seems like a much nicer thing to do. Or am I wrong thinking that way? Or?
This is that the pay wasn't on time either.
Yeah, there was a lot of disputes as to guys being underpaid, where the money was coming from. And then also, you can – the language barrier is real. A lot of people blame racism on like, oh, I just can't believe it's racism. They're not angry at the color of a person's skin or the religion they are. A lot of times it's because they can't understand people. So I could have a boss that's speaking French to me or whatever, and I could say, man, this guy's really a fucking dick, isn't he? And the guy's in French in the other room talking about how I'm his best employee, and I just can't understand it, you know? So again, he's an interesting guy here, Pulaski. But
that's what happens when you don't talk jive.
Well, he Pulaski decides it's time to return to combat in a European sense, okay? Probably because he was a little alarmed at how much the winged hussars looked like some of the Native Americans he was probably fighting. But he returns to the Southern Theater, and now this is cool. This is a multicultural affair. Pulaski is now leading in the Southern Theater. He is in control of both the American and the French cavalry during the Siege of Savannah. Here's why that's cool. A couple of years ago, this guy couldn't get a fucking job in the French army, okay? Now he's best friends with General Washington, okay? And he's actually in control and leading French troops. So, you wouldn't even hire me at the company. Now I'm your boss. So,
and under the recommendation of Marquis de Lafayette.
Now, if you want to talk about because obviously we know we in this room know what happens to Pulaski here as we're about to talk about. But I think he gets the last laugh because if he had joined the French military at this time, just to give you an idea of what's going on in the world, the American Revolution happens. Shortly after that, the French Revolution happens. And even Marquis de Lafayette was like, he's like, oh, great, France is going to have a revolution now too. And then you get over and you go, oh, shit, this is nothing like what we did in America. We're beheading everyone. So he misses out on the French Revolution here, but he's leading these French troops in battle down in Savannah. Now, Savannah, one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to in my entire life.
Gorgeous.
Cannot wait to go back. Open container cones. All right.
You ever been to a beach down there? Ever actually been?
There's Tybee Island is over there. Yes. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well,
it's
beautiful. We did a couple things for the military over there when I was in there. And then I also did a couple of comedy shows.
One of the most haunted cities in America, apparently.
It is. It's New Orleans, Savannah, and St. Augustine, Florida. So I only have yet to go to New Orleans on that one. But you can stay in a cool bed and breakfast down there. A lot of the town, it's so cool and historical. One of the monuments down there, there's actually a monument to our boy Casimir Pulaski. So when you take a look at it, it's in these giant because Savannah was designed on like an Asian-type architecture that would allow for defense of the city, that they would have these circles in the middle of the city. So instead of having a four-way stop or an intersection, there's a giant circle here. So Pulaski's leading the siege of Savannah, extremely important city because you have access to all the waterways down there. So it's crucial that we have this. Pulaski now tries to rush out there and get the French cavalry that's retreating on the field of battle to turn around. So in an attempt to rally them, he takes out his sword like a brave cavalry officer would, as he's done so many times in the past. He goes, "No, men, keep moving forward," and takes grape shot to the chest. Right? Grape shot is like a bunch of tiny little cannonballs that you put inside of a cannon.
Glued together.
Glued together.
So it's a cannon shotgun.
Yes, so it sprays out. It has the same spray pattern as a shotgun. So these chunks of grape shot go into our boy Casimir, and he gets hit.
Nah.
Loses. It was
again on the horse.
Yeah, again on the horse. Yeah. Maybe you
Can't
are right,
win.
Kerry.
Can't win.
Maybe he should have just been done with horses after that.
This is a piece that they pulled out of him.
It's big, too. These are decent-sized chunks here, man. It's
that looks like a whole grape shot, though, like a whole mini cannonball.
Well, imagine a bunch of softballs. If you go to the batting cages and they shoot out one softball at a time, now imagine they shot out 8 softballs all at once.
Right? And a whole softball came back out of him.
So he gets hit with that, loses consciousness, all right, is knocked off of his horse, loses consciousness, never regains it, dies 2 days later. So now,
and there's controversy around that, too, as to where he died and was buried. So he was hit by the grape shot, and they can't decide whether or not the account that he was brought onto a ship, died on the ship, and buried
at sea, right?
Was the actual story, or according to his aide-de-camp.
Just means his best friend, his BFF, aide-de-camp.
Right. Whether or not he received a burial in Charleston.
So they still don't know where he's buried.
Well, they do, actually.
So, yeah, they exhumed his body. And I do want to talk about this for a second. Keep talking because I have a weird note for you.
Yeah, they actually exhumed his body. When was it? I forget when. 2005, I think it was. And did some science on the skeleton to determine whether or not that was actually him. And based on his skull, because he had a birthmark or a scar under his right or left eye, was able to determine that that was actually his body that was buried there.
Oh, did you hear the other weird part where they found some female qualities to his body too?
I did not know.
There's an allegation or two that Pulaski might have been considered intersex. Now, that might be completely bullshit. We don't know. But what is for sure is that they did exhume his body, and the body that they presume is his. I'm saying exhume and presume a lot here, but the body that they think is Pulaski's was buried with full military honors. And he does have these plaques to him memorializing him in Savannah, Georgia, right, where he died on the field of battle.
And the plaques were placed there by Marquis de Lafayette.
Yes. Now, the craziest part of that is the cornerstone that was laid for him is laid in Freemason fashion. Ooh. Now we're talking Illuminati conspiracy theory
right,
shit.
I did hear that one.
So there's the allegation that he might have been a member of the Freemasons, and that's why he got along so well with all of our founding fathers, if you will, despite the fact he was from another country and spoke Polish. But fascinating guy here. He has become a rallying cry for the Polish in America. The Poles in America have a very successful immigrant story, you know, and very proud communities too. So anytime you're around a whole lot of Polish people, like out in the Midwest or something like that, they actually get off of
school.
For
Casimir Pulaski Day.
You know it. Now, what day is that, Kerr?
The first Monday in March.
The first Monday. So I want to let my bosses know now that due to – I may not be Polish, but due to my beautiful respect for the Polish people, on Monday, March 1st, you said, right, Kara?
No, the first Monday in March.
First Monday in March. I'll be giving myself a three-day weekend.
And then a couple weeks later, you'll be giving it again because you're Irish and celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Well, hey, you know, it's just I'm so proud of the proud immigrant tradition we have here in America. But Pulaski, like we said, a Polish hero and is well honored in Wallington, New Jersey. Now, the reason we're going to call him a loser, because it's mean to call him a loser when he fights wars on behalf of Polish independence and then dies fighting for American independence. We owe this guy a lot here. Now,
so, wait, when you told me that we're going to be doing him and I found out that he's, in fact, Polish, I was like, well, he doesn't qualify as an American loser. The little tidbit of information I got off of Wikipedia, he's one of eight people that were given honorary citizenship of America.
Yes, we made him an honorary citizen because we love this guy, all right? He's a good man.
Now, why is he on here?
The reason why I think he should be on here is because and I have so much respect for the military, but here's why he's a loser. Because when you are a winner and what's intended as an honor to commemorate you being a winner is to name this fucking Skyway after you that Johannesson designs, Boss Haig goes ahead and funds illegally in a lot of ways. And it's considered a modern marvel, but everybody's crashing their fucking car on it and it doesn't work all the time and there's suicide lanes and it's always down and you hear about it every morning in the traffic news and you just say, fucking Pulaski.
So the name is the loser, but the man is not.
So the man's a winner, but we decided to commemorate his memory with something that sucks. All right? So, like,
it's
what if.
It's not his fault. He had no idea that he'd get a shitty bridge named after him.
Definitely his fault.
What if 200 years from now, all right, my kids are sitting there and are like, man, we found this old podcast that great great grandpa Kevin used to do. And his friend, the Kahuna, did a great job as the sound engineer. So we're going to name this new disease after him. That's pretty much what it was, man. It's not a good way to be remembered here. But
I mean, at first people are going to be like, oh, a bridge? Okay, not a big deal. But then you realize the bridge sucks. Like the idea, not bad.
We had the best of intentions.
The best of intentions. Poorly executed, though.
Oh, man.
But that being said, South Beach Larry wasn't here this week, so we're doing our best to film. He's such a huge chunk of the show, man. I love having my dad in here. So when I can't have him in here, I want to bring family, and that's why I bring my cousins in. That's why my sister's been a regular guest. Kerry Burke, thank you so much for subbing in here
of
today.
Of course, yeah. One last thing to add. He actually has a U.S. Naval submarine named after him, too. Yeah.
You hear that, guys? The USS Casimir Pulaski.
It was used during the Cold War.
It's think about this for a second, too. That is a Polish submarine, all right? All the jokes you've ever heard, the Polish submarine, you know, they sank it because it had a screen door. All those stupid jokes. Yeah, there's actually a Polish submarine out there.
Well, they actually did scrap this one.
Oof, I believe you. And hopefully they used it to make these cans of this beautiful Super Ego IPA we're drinking from Carton Brewing here in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. Carton, if you're listening, sponsor the show, man. Come on. Don't make me go to Kane or Icarus or something like that, all right? Let's do this, Carton. Let's do it right over here. Kahuna, thank you so much for doing everything behind the ones and twos.
Always.
Thank you for the rework on this one. I know we had some problems with that, and it's not your fault either. Kerry Burke's going to be joining South Beach Larry down in South Beach.
I am.
Yeah, you're heading out tomorrow. I'm jealous of that.
I'm leaving this polar vortex, yeah.
Just send
one. Well, today wasn't that bad.
No,
but
it's nice out.
If there is a snowstorm after you leave, I'm going to be a very angry Kahuna.
There was a snowstorm last year, so you never know.
And Mike and Ming, if you're listening, I know Mike's not, but
Ming,
if you're listening, I just want to say thanks for the mulligan on this one, sir. It won't happen again. That being said, this was one of our best episodes. I really enjoyed it. I'm so happy. Guys, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, KP Burke. It's at KP Burke Sucks for Instagram and Twitter. Support the show if you can. Leave us a review. Just click like on an episode on SoundCloud or iTunes. It really helps us out. If you leave us a review on iTunes, we jump up the rankings on them, and we're doing really good here. I lose money every time we're doing this, but God damn it, I'm having fun. So that being said, guys, thank you again for everything you do on the show. That was Casimir Pulaski, American Loser.
An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born. American loser the day I was born.